أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we're not that many, but that's okay. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Let's proceed. Okay, let's close some of these things here. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we will start, inshallah, with Surah Yunus. Surah Yunus is the 10th Surah of Quran. There's way too much echo. Could you please just turn it down a little bit? Surah Yunus is the 10th Surah of Quran, and Surah Yunus is a Makkan Surah. What's interesting about Surah Yunus, before we study Surah Yunus, we'll just study the last couple of ayat of Surah Tawbah, and inshallah ta'ala will give us a good understanding of the connection between the end of Surah Tawbah and the beginning of Surah Yunus. The last two ayat of Surah Baqarah, the last two ayat of Surah At-Tawbah say, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَدِيثٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Let me just open the Mus'haf here. Could you please tell that some of the people who are online, like upstairs using the internet, if they can just stop using it for the next hour and a half? Because they're really battering it, mashallah. Okay, so the ayah says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَدِيثٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Absolutely no doubt that there has come to you a messenger from amongst yourselves, grievous, it really makes him sad. Azizun alayhi ma anittum, that you suffer, that because of our faith we have to have some difficulties. Harisun alaykum, he is concerned over you. Bil mu'minina raufur rahim, he is extremely kind and merciful to the believers. This is the end of Surah At-Tawbah. The beginning of Surah Yunus says Alif Lam Ra, Tilka Ayatul Kitab Al Hakim, these are the signs of the wise book. Akana lin nasi ajaban an awhayna ila rajulin minhum, are people amazed that we have sent a revelation to a man from amongst them? So the connection here between this, the ending of Surah Tawbah, and the beginning of Surah Yunus is that the Surah Tawbah ends on a note that Allah has sent a loving messenger, a merciful, loving messenger. You guys are in the hallway, you cannot talk and disturb me, okay? Is that clear? I'm talking to you in the white shirt. I'm talking to you in the white shirt. Turn back and look at me, at least acknowledge, okay? Jazakallahu khairan. That Allah has sent a merciful, loving messenger, and Surah Araf begins on the same. Surah Yunus begins on the same note. That Allah are amazed that Allah has, people are amazed that Allah has sent a messenger. He talks about the messenger and say, look, he's such a great person. He's so caring, and yet people are amazed that a person could be a messenger. Really, there's nothing to be amazed by. It's not bizarre whatsoever. So this is the connection that we find. Now let's go to the big idea of Surah Yunus. The big idea of Surah Yunus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Haqq, the truth. And because He is Al-Haqq, the truth, we should trust Him and only Him. This Surah Yunus, is a Makkan Surah. And the word Al-Haqq repeats in it 23 times. This is not normal in a Surah for a word to repeat this much. Particularly a word like Al-Haqq, or some word that is not a particular name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like a characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a rare thing, and this tells you The surah is talking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-haq, is the truth. It begins by saying alif lam ra. We don't know what these letters mean. Tilka ayatul kitab al-hakim. That those are the ayat, the signs of the wise book. The thing to notice that's really interesting here is the word hakim. Hakim means, translated as wise, but it has two origins. It could come from the word hikmah, which means wisdom, or it could come from the word hukum, which is authority. So Allah says, this is a book that has wisdom and has authority. Tilka ayatul kitab al-hakim. This is a book that has wisdom and it has authority, which is really interesting. This is a Makkan surah. At the time the surah was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ had no authority. He was just one of the people. He was in fact persecuted in his city. So the fact that from the very early phases of revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instilled the idea that this book is meant to have authority. It is meant that people extract rulings from it. This is what makes the Quran a miracle. It's actually a foreshadowing of the future. Allah tells the Prophet ﷺ through this verse that there will be a time where you will have the authority to establish this book. Which is really interesting, because at that time the believers were suffering and they were having a very tough time. The Prophet ﷺ was having a very difficult time in Quraysh. The Sahaba were weak, most of them were poor, and you know, there was no power whatsoever. Despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is foreshadowing that this is something that's going to happen. This is part of the miracle of the Quran, that it, you know, foreshadows. Not a lot, but often enough. It foreshadows. And particularly in Makkan Quran, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala foreshadowing a lot of the future, particularly when it came to Medina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes who really is a messenger and what it means to be a messenger. He says, أَكَانَ لِلنَّاسِ عَجَبًا. Are people amazed? أَنْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ. That we have sent revelation to a man from amongst them. And أَنْذَرِ النَّاسِ. That he may warn people. وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And at the same time, what is it that this messenger is saying? بَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Give good news, congratulate those who have faith. أَنَّ لَهُمْ قَدْمَ صِدْقٍ إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ. That they have the precedence of honor with their master. This is a two-part thing. An أَنذِرِ النَّاسِ, to warn people. People who are sitting on the sofa, again and again, I have to tell you guys, every single day, to be quiet. Just close the door, please. Yeah, why is that door open in the first place? أنذر الناس وبشر الذين آمنوا أن لهم قدم صدق عند ربهم. This is basically the two parts of what makes a messenger. That he warns, he tells people that they're doing something wrong, and also he gives them good news, he congratulates them. This surah talks a lot about the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are outside the book. And how we can look at the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are outside the book and connect them to the signs inside the book. If you guys don't want to be here, you don't have to be here, okay? I don't care about who's here or not here, okay? So if you don't want to be here, by all means you can leave. Just don't disturb my class, okay? Then you're welcome to leave. No one's going to hold your hand. Okay? But if you're going to be in the hallway, I better not be hearing voices constantly. This surah talks a lot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's signs that are outside the book and how we can use them to connect to the signs that are inside the book. Ayah number 3 tells us, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. Your master is the one who created the skies and the earth in 6 days. 6 days here does not mean the 6 days that we know, or the 6 days that the Christians claim it to be. It's a day, ayyam, yawm in Arabic doesn't mean 24 hours. That's a modern understanding of yawm. Yawm in Arabic actually means, you know, a day, just a period of time. So when Allah says sittati ayyam, it means 6 periods of time. Now why He did this is something that only He knows. Why He did this is only something He knows. Why did He choose 6? Why didn't He just create everything in one shot like He had done for other things? Why did it take 6 days? Allahu alam. But one of the wisdoms that we can find from this is that this ayah is usually mentioned in the Quran right around the time when Allah is describing the role of the messenger. We see Allah describes the role of the messenger right here. His role is to warn and to congratulate. And He mentions this. This, Allahu alam, points to the fact that the idea of giving the message requires a lot of patience. It doesn't happen over time. You need some time to get the message across. People need time to absorb the message. You see? Now, this is the idea that the messenger is being told through the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the skies and the earth in 6 days. He wanted to create it, He could have created it in one moment. But even He took His time. Some things just take time. So likewise, the deliverance of the message takes time. So, O Messenger, you should be prepared for that. This is something that he mentions also of the signs that are outside. He says, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا وَقَدَّرَهُ مَنَازِلْ لِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. He is the one who's made the sun ضِيَاءً, a light, وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا, and the moon also a light. The translation says light and light. But the words in Arabic are two different words. For the sun, it's ضِيَاء. For الْقَمَر, it is نُور. ضِيَاء and نُور. And this is important because we know this scientifically. It's a fact that the light of the sun, the source of it is the sun itself. And it is because of the nuclear fission and fusion that's taking place in the sun that causes that light. So it's a hot light. It's produced from heat. It's produced from nuclear reactions. It's produced from heat. Whereas the moon reflects the light. The moon does not produce its own light. The moon reflecting the light is a it's not produced from heat. So when he describes the sun and the light of the sun, he uses the word dhiya, and dhiya means light that is hot, like a flame. And nur is light that is cool. Nur is light that is cool. So very precise in the Quran, the choice of words when it comes to describing creation. This is something that we find consistently in the Quran. There's a lot of talk about Quran's miracles, scientific miracles. Most of them are actually bogus, very honestly speaking. Some of them have a lot of credibility. What's really the miracle of the Quran is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make this a textbook of science, of physics, but what the real miracle is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses very precise words to describe observable phenomena that even a Bedouin could listen to and understand, and even a person with a lot of modern knowledge and intellect could also listen and appreciate and understand. And both of them find it equally credible and equally plausible, which is really difficult to communicate a message to a people where one person is totally illiterate and the other person is an intellect, or is a person of intellect. It's a very hard thing to do. So the Quran manages to do that while being precise and while also highlighting subtleties that were not known to the Arabs in the time. Subtleties about the creation that were not, you know, that were just not possible for a person living in 7th century Arabia to be aware of. And all of this is combines to make the miracle. And the most important part of this is when Allah describes His creation, it's not so that you can say, oh look, that's so awesome, we found it in the Quran, it's also in the physics book, yeah, Islam is awesome. That's not the point. The point is that you look at those signs and then you think about the one who made them. And then you connect those signs that are outside to the signs that are inside. This is the point of it. Bilhaq, Allah says the Quran has been sent down bilhaq, with the right. Things have been created. Allah SWT has created the samawati wal arda bilhaq, in truth, with a purpose. The purpose is you look at it and you connect it to this ayah, these ayat. That's the idea, that's the purpose behind it. He says also about the moon, قَدَّرَهُ مَنَازِلْ لِتَعْلَمُ عَدَدَ السَّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. So you can figure out the years, how months are, how long a month is, how long a year is. You can use it to do that. مَا خَلَقُ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. This is all done in truth, for a purpose. The purpose is you look at it and you recognize the Creator, you connect it to the ayat in the book, and then you become subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. He explains His ayat, He details them for a people who know or a people who want to know. The usage of this is very important. This is a very important point in the Quran, that Allah uses a verb here, not a noun. لِقَوْمٍ عَالِمِينَ would mean for people who know for sure how the solar system works, only they can figure this out. But قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ is, you know, people who want to know. People who want, they have a very primitive understanding, they want to know, they could benefit from it as well. And a person who has very advanced knowledge, they could also benefit from it. Both of these people come under this category. This inclusion in the Quran is very, very incredible. And he says, إِنَّ فِي اخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ, that no doubt in the alternation of night and day. And how the fact that it's not like it's night and then all of a sudden it's a day. There's a transition, and we keep transitioning. The entire day is just a transition from one part of the night to the other. In this, وَمَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَّقُونَ, and what Allah has created in the skies and the earth, there are lots and lots of signs for people who have taqwa. People who want to have taqwa, or people who have taqwa. Again, because the verb is used. The people who want to have taqwa, they can look at something and that could encourage them to have more. The ones who already have it and they want to increase it, when they study the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that leads them to have more taqwa as well. It's really precise Quranic wording. Not again, لِقَوْمٍ مُتَّقِينَ. It's not like that. لِقَوْمٍ يَتَّقُونَ. And you know, the alternation of night and day is mentioned frequently in the Quran as a sign. And Allahu A'lam, that, you know, why would Allah mention it so many times? Number one, it's the most obvious thing. We can all see it. No matter where you are on the earth, you can see it. But also how, you know, it's just the way time passes. That's how, nobody can remember when the point in our lives when they were a child, to the point where we become a preteen, to the point where we become a teenager, to the point where we become an adult. You see those phases in life, becoming from child to a young adult to an adult, there's no like one buzzer that sounds and now all of a sudden you are a young adult. And then a buzzer sounds and now you are an adult. That's not how life works. And then a buzzer sounds and now you're old. It doesn't happen. We made divisions through ages, right? A teenager is somebody who is of this age group. We made age ranges. But really, a person becoming going from a young adult, from a child to a young adult, to an adult, to a person who is old and senior, there's no real time exactly, like there's no buzzer, there's no exact second you can point to and say, that's when I turned into an adult. It doesn't happen like that. So life doesn't work like that. Likewise, the day and the night, the way they go, the time passes and alternates, and this, you know, passes from the day to the night, and then passes from the night to the day. It's a reflection of our life, how our lives work as well. We pass from one stage to the other. And just like the night and the day is working with such precision and has a purpose, likewise we, our lives that are passing through with such precision, also have a purpose. It also has a purpose. So all of this is to kind of bring everything together and make us realize who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really is. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a reason why people don't believe in Him. Okay, sure. You want to see the... Let me do this. Okay. Alright. He gives a reason why people don't believe. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارُ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. The ones who do not have any hope, لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا, don't expect to meet us, وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, and they're happy with this life, وَاطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا, and they're really, really just at ease in this life, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ, and the ones who are sleeping, they have no clue about our ayat, about our signs, whether they are outside or inside. Because just before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about His signs, His miracles that are outside that we can all see, now He says the ones who don't, who see the day and the night, who see the earth, who see the sky, who see all the creation, and nothing occurs to them, they can't make any connection, they just look at it and be like, okay, whatever, right? Nothing, they can't make any connection. Those are the people, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارِ, their final resting place will be the fire. Because Allah wants to punish them? No. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, because of what they have earned. It's their own fault. Now, what's really interesting, the reason why people disbelieve, Allah highlights it in this ayah. He says, لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا, people who don't expect to meet us, they don't have any the idea of the day of judgment, the idea of resurrection is something that doesn't cross their minds. And to this day we have the biggest academics who study the ayat of Allah and they say there is no resurrection. The one who is an atheist or agnostic does not believe in resurrection, in life after death. They don't believe in that at all. They are the people who are studying the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most, yet they have no expectation to meet Allah. There's a hadith about this that's interesting, should be worth mentioning. من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه من كره لقاء الله كره الله لقاءه. The one who likes or wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to meet him. And the one who doesn't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to meet him either. Meaning, everyone's going to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the one who doesn't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any need to meet him either. He will not look at them, he won't speak to them, they will be given their judgment and they'll be put in hellfire. Like, just quickly, move on. Whereas the person who Allah wants to meet, he'll be there and he'll speak to them and we'll be able to see him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day. We ask Allah to make us those who Allah speaks to and then we're able to see him on that day. So, لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, and they are happy. You know, they're happy with the life of this world. Not just happy, وَطْمَأَنُّوا, they're just at total peace. All I want, I have total peace, that's it. This idea, and the ones who have no idea, the coolness of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the reasons why people disbelieve. Fundamentally, it is being preoccupied with this dunya. Being preoccupied to the point where we forget that there is a resurrection. To the point that things that Allah has put in place so that we can be reminded of Him, give us no reminders. This is the essence of it. That a person become so preoccupied, they just lose track of everything. On the contrary, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ, those who have believed and have done righteous deeds, their master guides them because of their iman. They're not preoccupied with this dunya, they are preoccupied with the akhirah. So because of that preoccupation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them and in fact takes them all the way. He says, تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ, that you see that under their feet there are or under the gardens are rivers that are flowing. da'wahum fiha subhanakallahumma. Just because they got to the akhirah doesn't mean they forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they stop praising Him or stop worshipping Him. In fact, do it even more. All they say in, or their call therein, the thing that they say most often in Jannah will be subhanakallahumma, subhanallah. Wa tahiyyatuhum fiha salam. And they will be saying salam to each other, giving each other salam. Wa akhiru da'wahum. And when they have concluded their conversation, the last thing they will say is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Because they were preoccupied with the Akhirah in this dunya, when they get to the Akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them there and He gives them Jannah and He gives them all that they wanted. And when He gives them all that He wanted, they still continue to praise Him. They still continue to say, you know, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. And they still continue to worship Him and be happy to be His slaves. This is the amazing part of it. You know, a person who is, once you have kind of, this as an example, a person who wants, you know, a good mark, or he wants, you know, it happens in university quite often that you want a good grade, so you're nice to your professor, even though you don't like the professor at all, but you just want to keep good relations until you get the mark. And once you get the mark, you're like, Alhamdulillah, I never have to see this person's face ever again. Right? And you move on with your life. So this idea of just let me get what I need and then I'll just, you know, you go your way, you know, I don't have any time for you. It's something that we see in this dunya. The people of Akhirah, whose priority and their preoccupation is the Akhirah, they don't want to just do it so they can get to Jannah. Once I get to Jannah, okay, that's it. I have no more need to pray. I have no need to praise Allah. Thank you, Allah. But that's it, you know. Now, I can just leave me alone and I can just have fun. It's not that. That's not the relationship. The relationship is not that of a person who goes to the bank and puts his card and takes out the money. That's not the relationship between a believer and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the relationship is, oh Allah, we're preoccupied with You. In this dunya, and even when they get there, they still say, we are still preoccupied with You, Ya Allah. We'll still keep praising You, and we'll still keep calling Your name. He mentions after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a telltale sign of those who don't really recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A litmus test, if you want to call it, for a person who wants to see where their iman is. If you want to really see how our iman is and where we stand in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are we really preoccupied with Allah? Are we really preoccupied with the Akhirah? Or is that a facade? Is it something that we're just saying? Or something we want to believe in? Something we want to be true? The litmus test comes in ayah number 12. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in ayah 12, وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ الضُّرُّ دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ أَوْ قَاعِدًا أَوْ قَائِمًا فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ ضُرَّهُ مَرَّ كَأَنْ لَمْ يَدْعُنَا إِلَى ضُرٍّ مَسَّهُ. When something bad happens to human beings, al-insan doesn't mean man, insan means human beings. دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ, starts making lots of dua. لِجَنْبِهِ, how so? While he's lying down. أَوْ قَاعِدًا, while he is sitting. أَوْ قَائِمًا, while he's standing. Basically in every situation. This person, when he needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he just seeks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again and again and again. When a person gets to trouble, this is something that's really interesting about the Pakistani Indian culture, I don't know about other cultures, where somebody loses a job and then they're trying to get a job and they're seeking a job desperately, and you know, all of a sudden you see this person having this event at their home where everybody's invited and they all sit and read Quran, right? And they're all reading Quran. It's like, what happened? Who died? It's like, no one died. We want to just, we're hoping that this Quran reading will get us a job. Okay, good for you, alhamdulillah. You read Quran, hey, alhamdulillah, congratulations, you got a job. And then what happens? The Quran goes back on the shelf. Never to be opened again. Only open when the person loses the job or when they die. SubhanAllah. That relationship, this bank teller relationship, here's my card, give me my money. Right? That relationship, if that is what is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we're not seeking Him. And we're not seeking the Akhirah. We're not preoccupied with the Akhirah. That is a sign. So he says, when a person, مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ الدُّرُّ دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ أَوْ قَاعِدًا أَوْ قَائِمًا, he's always making dua. He's doing all these things just to get something, just to get a better shot at something in the dunya. Something in the dunya that he can't just get himself. He's doing all this so he can get a better shot at it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can intervene with his supernatural powers to give him that thing. And then he says, فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ دُرَّهُ. That's okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there so we can ask him. And when he asks him, he gives us. That's fine. But then what happens once he's given? فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ دُرَّهُ. When whatever was hurting him is not there anymore, Allah says, in fact, كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ. We remove it from him. We actually answer the dua and we go through and remove the suffering. مَرَّ كَأَلَّمْ يَدْعُونَا إِلَىٰ دُرٍ مَسَّهُ. He starts walking around as if nothing happened. You know, that part of his life just becomes a distant memory, as if nothing happened. مَرَّ كَأَلَّمْ يَدْعُونَا. As if he never made dua, as if nothing happened. كَذَلِكَ زُيِّنَ لِلْمُسْرِفِينَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says, thus we have made it pleasing. This life, their actions, their attitude, we made it pleasing. It has been made pleasing. Lil musrifin. Musrif is translated as transgressors. Musrif is somebody who overdoes anything. Overeating is israf. Wasting money is israf. ODing on anything is israf, basically. That's what it means. So he says, musrifin, these people were overdoing their dua. So much dua when they need something. And when they don't need anything, no dua whatsoever. What really should be required is you make dua when you're suffering, and you make dua when you're not suffering. And there's a balance in life. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this person a musrif is because he just kept on making dua excessively only in when the situation that suited him. And he calls him a musrif for that person and says their actions and their deeds are made pleasing to them. Whatever they're doing, their attitude, it all seems good to them. This is a telltale sign of somebody who doesn't really recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not desire the akhirah. It's a sign of somebody who is preoccupied with the dunya. Their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like their relationship with the bank teller. That's one. Second is somebody who doesn't understand scripture fully. And at the same time, they're like, ah, oh, this thing, you know, this Quran is too rigid, this Islam thing is too rigid, you know, why can't we, you know, just take it a little easy and have a little bit of fun? One of my friends was saying something really interesting. He's like, how come Islam makes everything haram that is fun? And I was like, what do you mean fun? If you want to drink and that's your idea of fun, then yes, that is something that is immoral and Islam makes it haram. But the prevalent idea, the criticism was interesting, that how come everything fun is haram? And of course I'm not, that's a silly criticism, that's a silly statement to make. But the idea that, oh, scripture just makes everything rigid, and scripture, you know, why can't we just, you know, take it easy and lighten up and just have a good time? So this is the second telltale sign of somebody who doesn't really understand Allah. First is when something bad happens to them. What is their reaction? Second is their approach to scripture. What is their approach to scripture? وَذَا تُطْلَ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتِ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَ نَأْتِ بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا أَوْ بَدِّنْ. When the ayat are recited to them, look, the Quran is saying this. The Prophet ﷺ said this. قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا. Those who they're not preoccupied with the akhirah. Their preoccupation is with this dunya. They say, well, you know, just lighten up. إِتِي بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا. Just come, bring something else. Why do you have to mention this now? Take it easy. Right? أَوْ بَدِّلْهُ. Worst case scenario, change it. This is, of course, the attitude of the mushrikeen, who would say, why don't you just change this part of the scripture and then we'll all be friends. But from a perspective, just from a psychological perspective, even within a believing community, this is prevalent. You know, why is this ruling there? Let's just all have a good time and eat food. and forget about it, and just have baklava at the end of the day and drink qahwa, right? Forget about this stuff. So this idea, the approach to scripture is incorrect. Scripture is not قُلْ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أُبَدِّلَهُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ نَفْسِي. It's not, nobody has the right to change and alter it. Even the one who was receiving it had no authority to tamper with it, let alone anybody else. So, and he says, إِنَّ التَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ أو إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. I'm only following what has been revealed to me. It's not, I'm not calling the shots here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's calling the shots. إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ أَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. I fear, the Prophet is saying, I fear that if I was to disobey my master, that I will be struck with the punishment of a very severe day. If the Prophet ﷺ is worried about punishment of Allah, how much more worried should we be? He's already been told, you'll be fine, you'll get Jannah, no sin on you, and he's still worried about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we are with no guarantees, and we walk around as if everything is going to be fine. Right? Doesn't mean that we should be always worried and sad and depressed, that's not the point either. But at least the concern should be there that what we're doing will be asked about. What we're saying will be is being recorded and will be shown to us eventually. What we looked at and what we didn't look at is also being recorded. All these things like that, that understanding, that framework should be there. Right? And that's what the Quran is calling for. So the second telltale sign of somebody who wants, who doesn't really recognize Allah, is that their approach to scripture is very silly, very foolish. They don't really understand the idea of scripture. Again, this surah is recognizing who Allah is, that Allah is al-haq, Allah is the truth. This word comes so many times in the surah. Ayah number 22, 23 gives us another clue on who, on a telltale sign of people who really don't understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ الَّذِي يُسَيِّرُكُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. He's the one who takes you on a ride فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ, in the land and in the sea. And we can add now, in the air as well. I mean, we can add, because now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who facilitates that as well. If He wants to make the weather stormy, no planes take off. Right? So He is the one who facilitates it. يُسَيِّرُكُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ is a meaning of facilitating. He facilitates. He's allowed the idea of buoyancy to exist, which allows ships to sail. You see? So this is the thing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gives us the ability to create things and allows the environment that facilitate them. And then the credit for all of that still goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He allowed us the intellect to acquire the knowledge and put the pieces together to make that new thing, and also because He allowed it to be facilitated, like the ship, like the planes. So وَالَّذِي يُسَيِّرُكُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ حَتَّى إِذَا كُنْتُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ. Until now, He cuts the scene to when you are in the ship. وَجَرَيْنَ بِهِمْ. What's really interesting, really interesting, Arabic language wise, He's talking in second person. He takes you on a ride when you were in the sea. And then He says, وَجَرَيْنَ بِهِمْ, and they sail. He shifts the tense from second person to third person. It happens in movies, right? You're seeing, like, the guy is, you know, talking to somebody and the scene cuts, and he's still narrating with a voiceover, but it's no longer conversing with the person. It's like a third, like if the scene cuts to another scene, but the original voice is still narrating voiceover. That's the idea behind this changing of tense. This is something that when we read the translation, we're like, what happened here? It went from second person to third person. What really happened? It's like, imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing a voiceover. The scene is being played where people are in a ship, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is narrating voice over and still talking to us still, because we're the ones who are the subject of this conversation. What is this voice over? He says, وَجَرَيْنَ بِهِمْ بِذِيحٍ طَيِّبَةٍ وَفَرِحُوا بِهَا, and we are making them sail, and there's a really nice wind, and they're all happily sailing in the sea. جاءت ريح عاصف. At that point, when they're all happy and enjoying themselves, a very stormy wind comes. وجاءهم الموج. And when the stormy wind comes, it stirs up the waves, right? من كل مكان, from every point. Now imagine the scene, right? You've all seen a movie of this nature. Subhanallah, the network has just died. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Okay. Just give me 1 second, hold on. Ilyas, can you please reset the Wi-Fi switch? So let's get back online so the people who are online can continue listening. إِنَّ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Okay, Assalamu alaikum people online, we're back. And unfortunately, the quality is not going to be not as great because the internet has basically left us. So I apologize, just be patient, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan. The audio recording will be available for you to catch up on if the quality is not as great. Jazakallahu khairan for understanding. Okay, so imagine the scene where they're on the ship, waves are coming from everywhere, big stormy wind, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is narrating voice over. وَجَرَيْنَ بِهِمْ بِرِيحٍ طَيِّبْ وَفَرِحُوا بِهَا جَاءَتْهَا رِيحٌ عَاصِفٌ وَجَاءَهُمُ الْمَوْجُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ أُحِيطَ بِهِمْ. And they are certain that they are going to die. At this moment, what happens? دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ. At this point in time, even the atheist cries out to Allah. Even the biggest mushrik cries out to Allah and says, Ya Allah, O God, save me. This, the heart cries out for Allah. مُخْلِصِينَ, absolute sincerity. لَإِنْ أَنْجَيْتَنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. If you were to save us from this situation, we will 100% be of those who are thankful. One of the great modern authors of our time, Dr. Bouchard, who wrote many books about Islam and Christianity and French convert, he had this experience. He was on a ship and they were having a good time, and this incredible storm swept them up, and he was used to be an atheist, or atheist, or definitely not a Muslim, something maybe between an atheist and a agnostic. And when that wind swept them up and they were just, you know, they were about to die on their vacation, he said, I started making dua to Allah that just save me, God, and I'll find you and I'll worship you. And then when he got saved, فَلَمَّا أَنْجَاهُمْ إِذَا هُمْ يَبْغُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Ayah number 23 tells us, when he saves them, at once they start committing injustice on earth. Basically, they forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors. And he says, I actually forgot about Allah. Until one day, I remembered, and when he read this ayah of Quran, he accepted Islam. SubhanAllah. Because he's like, that was me. That was me. And this happened even in the past. Ikrimah radiallahu anhu, the son of Abu Jahl, when the Prophet ﷺ had conquered Makkah and everything was to be settled and the mushrikeen, the pagans, were supposed to leave the Arabian Peninsula, Ikrimah actually left. He said, I'm not going to stay here. And he was on a ship to Abyssinia, to Africa, and this happened. And he would see that all these people that are mushrik, that are not believers in Allah, all of a sudden they're all making dua to Allah. So then he returned from his journey, came back to Medina, accepted Islam. This is again something that Allah tells us about, a telltale sign of those who don't really recognize Allah. Bad things happen, they rush to Allah. When good things are happening, they're like, you know, whatever, life's good, who cares. This is the tests that we go through in life is a litmus test of our faith. If our reaction to it is all of a sudden become like these guys that Allah described in the ship, or like the guy before who's making dua at all times, that's a problem. Then we're not really seeking the akhirah, we're only seeking the dunya. As long as we get saved now, we're okay. As long as I get what I need now, I'm okay. Help me God, just get me over this hump. I'll be fine afterwards. This sentiment is a telltale sign of somebody who does not know the akhirah or Allah. And this is what Allah wants to tell us. But the reality of life is different. The reality of life, Allah says, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ. The reality of life is given, is understood with an example. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to explain a difficult concept, often He gives us an example. So we can kind of take the example and deconstruct it in our own mind, thereby constructing our own knowledge. In psychology, this is called constructivism. To teach somebody, not by telling them facts, by telling them an example. And then they can kind of link the facts to the example themselves. And then their knowledge is much stronger. So this is, life is a difficult concept. Right? What's life? What's the meaning of life? So Allah gives us a really nice example. Really beautiful, really powerful example. He says that the example of this life is like the rainwater that Allah has sent from the sky. Rainwater represents the blessings that Allah has sent. Because rain is the biggest blessing for people who don't have artificial irrigation. Okay? So, this water, فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ. This water, you know, makes this water fertile. It mixes with the نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ, the things that come out of the earth, the crops, the vegetation, from what the people and from what the animals eat. Those are all the blessings that we get in our lives, all the things that we earn, all the accolades that we receive, all the honors that we receive. That's what that represents. حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفَهَا. Until the earth literally takes its zukhruf, it becomes beautified. وَزَّيَّنَتْ. On top of that, it becomes, zina is something that's glitter and gold. It shines. The earth literally starts to shine. If you look at a beautiful farm, or if you go to like a beautiful park like Algonquin or something, literally from a far place, like if you're standing on top of a hill, it looks like it's glittering. It looks like there's a bit of glitter because of the way the sun reflects off the trees and the way it bounces off, you know, certain branches. It looks glittery. SubhanAllah, really beautiful description of it. Imagine, by the way, the Prophet never saw a forest or anything similar to Algonquin Park. Right? But the description is so incredible. وَزَّيَّنَتْ وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا. And the people who are living on this earth think that they are fully capable. They are in control of everything. This represents prosperity. Ma that Allah has sent from the sky, the water that Allah has sent from the sky, is His blessing, His giving us life. Nabatul Ard is the initial prosperity. You know, accolades. People receive honors that they receive. And this represents when a person reaches the peak of it, that they have received so much honor and so much prestige, and they've got so much prosperity that they think that they can do whatever they want. أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا. They have complete authority. No one can do anything to them. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them down. أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا. Like this beautiful farm, garden is ruined by ataha amruna. A stormy wind comes and sweeps it away. Laylan aw nahara, whether it's at the night or the day. Faja'allaha hasidan, we make it hasidan ka'allam taghna bil ams. Harvest, hasid is actually destroyed crops. Like destroyed crops, ka'allam taghna bil ams, as if it had no value from before. Absolutely worthless. We make it worthless as if it had no value. How many people reach prosperity and then something happens? A bad break here, a car accident there. A car accident happens, they lose their job, their wife leaves them, all their money is spent in treatment, and before you know, this guy who was prosperous, a CEO or whatever, had all the money and all the power and all the authority in the world, within a few years he is, you know, isolated, it's got nothing left. How many stories are like that of people? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Likewise, we detail our signs for a people who understand. What is there to understand? Number one, that life, أَنزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, Allah has sent it from the sky. So, if we lose track of that fact, and we start to think that all of it is really because of us, because the people who are قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا, they think they have authority over the garden, they forget the fact that it's being irrigated by the rain. They forget that it's actually Allah that's irrigating it. So forgetting that connection between our prosperity and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the biggest lesson here. That's number one. Number two, life is like seasons. There's going to be good seasons and bad seasons. Right? There's a chilly winter, subhanAllah, where everything is frozen. And we know everything about chilly winters. And there's also some really beautiful summers. There's also some really beautiful summers where there's lots of good. Let me try one more time. There's lots of good and lots of nice things, and things are good. Life is like that. There's going to be bad times, there's going to be good times. As long as you remember that the source of it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't forget that, and we don't lose track of that, then seasons will pass. But if we forget that, then a chilly winter would seem like an eternity. A bad break, a bad, you know, layoff would seem like an eternity, even if it was for a few months. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Mufassil al-Ayat, لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. For people, not لِقَوْمٍ مُتَفَكِّرِينَ, لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, using the verb again. For people who just want to think, who want to just make some connections, just want it, and the ayat are there for you. And notice again, these are things that we actually see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again wants us to connect things we see in life, actual reality that we can see, ayat outside the book, to ayat inside the book. Physical reality to what's something more conceptual. He wants us to make that connection. لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. This is what the believer is supposed to be doing. When we look at the seasons changing, it should remind us of life. When we look at a blossoming garden, it should remind us of this ayah, how Allah sends the rain, and how this garden is blossoming because of the rain. If we're blossoming in our life, our prosperity, it's because of Allah. Ultimately. This is the idea that the Quran presents, that we have to have this and we cannot lose this. And that's why he says, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَىٰ دَارِ السَّلَامِ. Allah is inviting you to Jannah. He's sent out an invite. You know, people send invites in emails. Come to the Aqiqah. Come to my Eid party. Come to the Super Bowl party. Come watch Brazil get hammered by Germany. Right? That was this. Oh, it has to be mentioned. It has to be mentioned. Right? That we send out these invites. Allah says, I'm sending you an invite to Jannah. Will you accept? Will you take the invitation and will you reply yes to it? SubhanAllah. وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. He guides who He wants to the straight path. One meaning. Another meaning, He guides who wants guidance to the straight path. مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Good. I'll start. Okay, bismillah. So, وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءِ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Two meanings. Number one, Allah guides who He wants to the straight path. Number two, مَنْ يَشَاء, He wants. He wants could be Allah, and He wants could be the person who is being guided. So the one who wants guidance, Allah will guide him. The one who is looking for guidance, Allah will guide him. The one who wants to go to Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him to Jannah. The one who wants the Akhirah and his preoccupants is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Day of Judgment and the Akhirah, Allah will give him that. And the one who wants this dunya, then maybe Allah will give him this dunya, or maybe he won't, but he definitely has nothing of the Akhirah. He's got nothing of the Akhirah. This is the prevalent theme. Now, some logical arguments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes about Him, about Allah being the truth. Remember this surah, its prevalent theme is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Haq. The word Al-Haq repeats in this surah numerous times. So in this surah, He gives us an idea. SubhanAllah, I'm kind of stuck again, but it's okay. We'll continue. I'll just read the ayahs to you, inshallah. He gives us an idea of... Ilyas, could you please reset the switch inside the room? Okay. SubhanAllah. You know, the internet is such a fitna in this... Was it? I don't know what to do. Anyway, we have to be patient. The first, Allah says, قُلْ هَلْ مِنْ شُرَكَائِكُمْ مَنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ قُلِ اللَّهُ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ. He says, is there anybody who you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? مَنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ. Who can begin the process of creation? Is there anybody who can begin the process of creation? Some people could create things. You can take two dogs and make them breed and you have a new breed of dogs. Right? People can do that. And that would technically be khalq. Technically that was khalq. Okay? But Allah says, and you can do this between, you know, different species, and you can actually make a new species doing this. And people who work in biology, molecular biology, they do this as a profession. They take certain species and then they, you know, mix them together and then create a new species. But Allah says, مَنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ. Is there anybody who can start the process of creation? There's nothing and Allah created people from nothingness. Is there anybody who can do that? No, there's nobody who can do that. So Allah is the one. فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ. So how can you be deluded? He says, قُلْ هَلْ مِنْ شُرَكَائِكُمْ. In this passage you will hear this a lot. قُلْ هَلْ مِنْ. Is there anybody? Say, is there anybody? Say, is there anybody? All these are rhetorical questions. He says, is there anybody, مَنْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ, who truly guides you to the truth? He says, no, there is nobody who can truly guide you to the truth. People can give you an approximation of the truth. People can give you an idea of the truth. They can point you to it. But truly guiding it, it is only Allah who does it. It is only Allah who does it. He says, this Qur'an, it's not possible that anybody else could make it. Another logical argument that Allah makes for His for His divinity. He says, وَمَا كَانَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ أَنْ يُفْتَرَى مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. It's not possible that other people could create or fabricate this Qur'an. It's so precise. There is no contradictions. I just point out to you a few things here and there of the language as we are going through. There is dozens upon dozens more that we leave behind that really show. The Qur'an was spoken, by the way, right? It wasn't like the Prophet was reading off a book. So there was no editorial process. For it to be so precise while spoken, it's just unbelievable, right? That's why it's a miracle. Other people, when they speak, they can contradict themselves, they can mess up, their speech is not as precise, even the best orators. But Allah says, this Qur'an is not possible for it to be from anybody but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of its flawlessness. And ولكن تصديق الذي بين يدي, rather in reality it is تصديق الذي بين يدي, it is a confirmation for the ones, it confirms what is already there of scripture. It testifies that the Torah is from Allah and the Injil are from Allah, but also that there is something that's missing in it. It also testifies to that fact. وَتَفْصِيلُ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, and it's got details without any doubt, and it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. And the challenge is, if you think that somebody could make something like the Qur'an, then فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ, then bring a surah like it. Bring a surah like it. Another logical evidence that Allah gives. You think this is something that anybody else can make? Bring a surah like it. Now you could say, well, people in the past have tried to make surahs, so this challenge has been met. You could say, well, there is somebody who wrote a Qur'an called the Furqan, and this is true, and it has surahs, and if you read it, it reads like, you know, it looks very similar to the Qur'an, right? So hey, hasn't the challenge been met yet or not? Well, the challenge is very interesting. Suratin mithlihi, surah like it, like the Qur'an's surah. The surahs in Qur'an, Surah Fatiha is the one that's the most common, right? Almost everybody knows Surah Fatiha. Probably everybody knows Surah Fatiha. Now, how many times we read Surah Fatiha? At least, if we're praying all our salahs. At least 17 times, right? In Taraweeh itself, you add Taraweeh, you add Witr, you add this and that. Surah Fatiha is read, you know, 30, 40, 50 times a day. Correct? Is there anybody... Now compare, Surah Fatiha is spoken, right? It's you can classify it as spoken word if you want to. Is there any other piece of art that can ever be listened to 50, 60 times a day without people getting bored of it? Is that even plausible? You know, generally, you know, for those who, you know, that when there's a, on the radio, if they play something, like a song or something, I'm not telling you to go listen to a song, I'm giving you an example, so don't take me out of context, right? That when a song is played on the radio, they don't play it more than what? 3-4 times a day, maximum. And that's if only like it's a great song and everybody wants to listen to it or whatever. And a few weeks later, nobody's listening to it. A few years later, it's gone. It's just erased from memory, right? I'll give you an example. This is something that's controversial, but I'll give you an example because it's to put it in context. Michael Jackson, when I was growing up, his songs were like just, it was like a storm, right? Now, you will never hear him unless it's his death anniversary or something. That's only when they play him, right? He's forgotten totally when it comes to the radio waves. His stuff is gone. It's not repeated. Because that's the nature of human beings. When they create something, it can never be repeated again and again and again. People will get bored of it, it will get discarded. The Quran, we read it 50, 60 times a day sometimes. Sometimes even more. And we will do it the next day. And we will do it the day after. And we will do it the next year. And the next year. And then our kids will do it. And it was done by our parents and our grandparents. That's why it's not possible to make something like the Qur'an. You can copy the Qur'an style, you can make a surah that looks a lot like the Qur'an, but for it to achieve that level, it's impossible. It's impossible. This itself isn't a proof that this is Allah's book and nobody else can produce anything like it. SubhanAllah, it's so powerful, it's so incredible. Any other human effort gets a bit of time and then it gets faded into memory, faded out of memory. Whereas the Qur'an stays and is repeated again and again and again, day after day, week after week, year after year, generation after generation. That's why nothing can be produced like it. So he gives this idea that Allah is the truth and this is one of the proofs for it. It mentions that the Prophet ﷺ was just a prophet. The Prophet ﷺ, just because he's reciting the Qur'an, just because he has receiving revelation, does not mean now all of a sudden he is a superhuman, that he can do, you know, something crazy. No, he's a prophet. So Allah says, for example, ayah number 46,
وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ
They ask, they used to ask the Prophet, when is the day of judgment? You tell us about this punishment, you're warning us about this day, the hellfire and this and that, when is it going to happen? And the response was, look, قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا The Prophet said, I don't even have the ability to give myself any benefit or protect myself from any harm. Like, to a certain degree I have a choice, but in the big picture, I don't have the ability to protect myself from the forces, from what's going to happen to me. I'm at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like just you are at the mercy of Allah, I'm at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So, this, you're asking me about the Day of Judgment, I can't even help myself if Allah wants to do something to me. Because the Prophet ﷺ was, at the end of the day, just a prophet. Let's see if this is working now. Alhamdulillah. Also another proof, this is the ayah. قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا I do not possess for myself harm nor benefit إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ except for what Allah would will. Meaning, I can't help myself if Allah wants to do something to me. If Allah has willed that I am sick, I can't do anything about it. I'll be sick. And I'll be sick for a while if Allah wants me to be sick for a while. I can take a lot of Advil, but still, it won't do anything until Allah wants it to do something. That's what the Prophet is saying. Would you please go in the studio and just plug out and plug in the Wi-Fi router switch. Jazakallah khair. Okay? So, this is the idea telling the people that Prophet is just a Prophet. He's not a superhuman. Also, the idea of the Qur'an. The idea of the Qur'an, he says, ayah number 57, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ He told us about the Qur'an and what it is. He says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ شِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ O people, there has come to you from your master a مَوْعِظَةٌ A reminder, وَالشِّفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ And something that heals what's in the hearts. وَهُدًى And a guidance. وَرَحْمَةٌ And a mercy لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ For people who are believers. Now, He says, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ Say in the bounty of Allah and His mercy. فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا Then let them rejoice in this. هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ It is better than everything they can gather. This ayah is very important. And I'll quickly mention just two things from it. Number one, the Qur'an, a lot of time revelation in the Qur'an is likened to the rain. You will find this in the examples of the Qur'an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about rain, the same way He talks about revelation. Because they both have the same origin. They both come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're both exclusively in Allah's control. Rain is not in the control of anybody. And nobody can actually predict rain either. Likewise, revelation was not in anybody's control and nobody could predict revelation. Also, rain comes and Allah calls it rizq. It's like sustenance, something that you need. And He calls Quran also, it's sent to provide us with our sustenance for our soul. So there is a lot of parallels between the Qur'an and the rain, and the Qur'an and revelation is alluded to as rain quite often. Now, rain, when it falls on a rocky track, or if it falls on soil that is not fertile, it doesn't get absorbed. It'll just wash over the surface. You'll see like little puddles forming maybe, or maybe little tracks of water as the rain escapes. But if the soil is cultivated and it is there's space between the soil, then the water can actually get absorbed. This is just the way it works. Now, a lot of us unfortunately have never seen soil. Or even if you have backyards, you've never touched the soil. Please do some gardening. Learn about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just at a very basic level. Okay, but generally, if you were to cultivate the soil, you know, hit it with a what's the tool called? The rake, Jazakallah Khair. And then you put some air in the soil, and then the rain falls, or when you water it, that water stays there. So the plants can use it, and they can produce their food, and they can grow. Now, if the Qur'an is sent, and the hearts of the people are not cultivated, they're not ready, then it's just going to wash over it. That's why you will find people, you can tell them 25 ayat from the Qur'an and nothing's going to change. It goes in through one ear and out the other ear. And it's not because their hearts are hard or anything. It's not because that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set a seal on their hearts. That ayah and those ayat are specifically for a very specific set of kuffar. It's not applicable for believers. It's not acceptable to apply that ayah to the believers. Those ayat were revealed about the kuffar of Quraysh, like Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira and Utbah, those people. They can't be applied to believers. But you find believers, you tell them an ayah, it goes through one ear and comes out the other ear. Why is that? Because the heart's not been cultivated, it's not ready to receive that water. That water just washes away. And that's why he says, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. There's a maw'idha. The maw'idha is what cultivates the heart. The maw'idha is what cultivates the heart. It makes it ready. Once the heart is ready, شِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Then the water gets absorbed. And then the heart grows spiritually. And what ails it is healed. What ails it gets healed. But the cultivation has to come first. That's why we find Aisha radiallahu anha saying that if the first thing of the Qur'an was don't drink alcohol, the people will never stop. And if the first thing of the Qur'an was don't commit adultery, the people will never have listened. But the Qur'an first cultivated the hearts. How does it cultivate the heart? By connecting it to the Akhirah. By preoccupying it with the Akhirah. Once it is preoccupied with the Akhirah, then the process of healing can begin. This is what this ayah tells us. And it's a guidance. And it's a mercy. It is not hadiyan. Very beautiful choice of words. Hadi is the one who guides. Huda is all of guidance. What Allah is saying, this Quran is not just the one who will tell you where to go. All of guidance is Quran. All of it, it's Quran. And it's a mercy. That's why he says, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ. Then in the bounty of Allah and His mercy, in the Quran, فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. That is what we should be studying. That is what we should celebrate. Not celebrate Germany beating Brazil 7-1. We should celebrate what we learned from the Quran. That's what Allah tells us. You want something to celebrate? This is it. هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. It is better than anything that you can gather. What does that mean? Anything of value, any assets that you can think of that has any value, like monetary assets, like assets that give you a social standing, like degrees, and professional affiliations, and titles, like a certain type of locality that you want to associate yourself with. Anything that you can think of that has any value, any asset, it is better than all of that. Because what does it do? It heals what ails the heart. It puts life in perspective. All of this does not put life in perspective. People who have a lot of money commit suicide. When the stock market crashed in the 20s, the people who had so much money, they committed suicide because their life was over. So that asset does not give you any, that asset is just an asset. The Quran gives you perspective. It gives you an idea of how to look at life. It changes the way we look at life, by the way. That's the fundamental concept that it wants to get forward. It changes the way we're supposed to look at the world. You look at something, other person will see just rain falling. You look at it and you think of something else. You're thinking of how it's coming from Allah. You're thinking of how that's similar to the Quran. You're there making all these connections that other people won't be able to. That's the idea the Quran is supposed to give us. When somebody asked the Prophet ﷺ, I'm really sad, I'm really you know, I'm not feeling good. Can you tell me something that will, you know, that will help me? I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling depressed. He gave the very beautiful dua in which he said, Allahumma ja'al al-Qur'ana rabi'a qalbi wa nura sadri wa jala'a huzni wa dhahaba hammi wa ghammi. Then make the Qur'an the light of my chest. Make it the thing that makes me happy. Wa jala'a huzni, the thing that takes away my depression, anxiety. Wa dhahaba hammi wa ghammi, in similar words, depression, anxiety, fear, any that emotion that a person feels when they're down. Make the Qur'an the thing that takes it away. It's the study of Qur'an that brings all of this. And you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who study the Qur'an and who can really live the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions also in this passage, in this surah, Surah Yunus is named after Surah Yunus, after Yunus alayhi salam, sorry. And that's funny, I know. And it's named after Yunus alayhi salam, but he's only mentioned in one ayah in the whole surah. What's really interesting is Nuh alayhi salam is mentioned. وَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ Nuh, ayah number 71 tells us, recite to them the story of Nuh alayhi salam, who had spent an entire life calling people to Allah, hoping they will recognize who he is. They never did it, and now he's at a point where he's like, you know what, it's just over now. It's over. And this is interesting. The Prophet, this is the first time we hear Nuh alayhi salam saying this in the Quran sequentially, that he says to his people, bring it on. You want to harm me? Harm me. First time. And we don't, you know, this is, it tells you that even a great man, it's an implication to Quraysh that look, you're pushing this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his limits. Nuh alayhi salam was pushed to his limits, and then you know what happened to them. You're pushing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his limits, same thing's gonna happen to you. There's gonna be a punishment. And that did come in the Battle of Badr, when all the chieftains of Quraysh, 70 of them in fact, were all punished by dying. He also mentions the story of Musa alayhi salam. Now Musa alayhi salam's story is very common in Quran. It is in fact the most common story in Quran. But every time it comes with a different flavor. Something, a new wrinkle that's brought. In this particular story, we will see this, we've seen this in Araf, and we will see it again. Allah says that Musa alayhi salam came to Fir'aun, and Fir'aun said to him in ayah number 77, sorry, ayah number 76, فَلَمَا جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ عِنْدِنَا قَالُوا إِنَّ هَذَا لَسِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. When Musa came with the truth, because this ayah, this surah, the big idea is al-haq, the truth, finding the truth. They said, إِنَّ هَذَا لَسِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. This is no doubt a great magic. Now, وَقَالَ مُوسَى أَتَقُولُونَ لِلْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَكُمْ أَسِحْرٌ هَذَا وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُونَ. Musa alayhi salam said that you call the truth magic. Sihr, magic is not just something that the way we know it, because the way we know magic is a magic trick, or you know, sihr is something that's a possession by a jinn. But sihr, it means you know, like the time we eat, what is it that we eat in the morning? What's the word? Before fasting? Suhoor, right? Or sahri. So Suhoor comes from sihr, because that's the time when the light and the darkness and the light are kind of mixing. That's the time of the night. Before Suhoor time, it's pitch black. After Fajr, it's pretty, it's light, right? You can see the light. Suhoor time, linguistically, is when there is, you know, a mixture of darkness and light. You're like, it's dark, but it's not really dark. Is it light yet? Was that Fajr? Was that not Fajr? This idea linguistically of Suhoor is that things are mixed together. Not your food, mashallah. Your food is also mixed together when you eat it. But the idea of the sky. Now, what's really fascinating is Sihr is what makes people's minds convoluted. They don't really know. Is this really true, or is this easy? You know, I don't have any understanding of reality anymore. I've lost touch with reality. That's sihr. So when Musa alayhi salam came and says, look, this is the truth, and he shows him his miracle, Fir'aun was like, this is sihr. We can't even tell what's, you know, right and wrong. We can't even tell what's a staff and what's a snake anymore. That's what you've done to us, Musa. That's what you've done. When they called the Prophet ﷺ a sahir, he's like, look, now you're telling us that our forefathers were wrong? Right? We don't even know what's right and wrong anymore. Thanks for doing that for us. That's sihr. You see? So, subhanAllah, Musa ﷺ is saying, no, it's not sihr. You know it's the truth. It's not mixing truth and falsehood. It is clarifying the truth. It's in fact doing the opposite. So now, Fir'aun is criticizing him, and Fir'aun said, "Qala Fir'aun utuni bi kulli sahirin alim." Bring me all the magicians. I'm gonna, you know, show Musa alayhi salam who's boss, right? فَلَمَّا جَاءَ السَّحَرَةُ قَالَ لَهُمْ مُوسَى أَلْقُوا مَا أَلْتُمْ مُلْقُونَ. The story, the famous story. Musa alayhi salam throws his staff. Musa alayhi salam's staff basically takes away eats up the snakes or the magic trick that the magicians had performed. فَوَقَعَ الْحَقُّ وَيُحِقُّ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established the truth through this miracle. Right? Now, interesting, فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَى إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِّن قَوْمِهِ. Only a few people believed in Musa, and the choice of word is ذُرِّيَّة. ذُرِّيَّة is generally used for progeny, like your next generation. But here it represents young people. Only some young people believed in Musa alayhi salam, because young people don't fear anything, generally speaking, right? Unless it's the dark or the cockroach. But generally young people don't have fear of consequences. That's what makes, you know, youth so intriguing, right? Like the poet said, يَا لَيْتَ الشَّبَابَ يَعُودُ يَوْمًا فَأُخْبِرَهُ بِمَا فَعَلَ الْمَشِيبُ. Right, the old poet is saying, I wish that my youth could return so I could tell them what old people do. Right, because young people don't know any consequences. So, subhanAllah, this is one of the things that, one of the few people who accepted Islam, they were young people. Okay, why is that? عَلَىٰ خَوْفٍ مِّن فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَيْهِ. They were afraid for their lives. The other people were afraid of their lives. These people didn't care. They're like, we're strong. We're going to believe in Allah. Consequences can, you know, take a back seat. Now, this continues the story, and Musa alayhi salam's people are increasingly persecuted. So Musa alayhi salam says to his people, Ya Musa, Ya Qawmi, in kuntum amantum billahi fa alayhi tawakkalu in kuntum muslimin. If you have believed in Allah, then put your trust in Him only. Put your trust in Him exclusively. So people of Musa, Bani Israel, said, قَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. On Allah we have trusted. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh Allah, don't make us fitna, objects of trial. Don't put us in trial because of the wrongdoing people. This is the dua made by who? Who's making this dua? People of Musa, Bani Israel, the Jews are making this dua. And the Quran quotes the du'as of Bani Israel. This is the thing, the Quran talks about them and criticizes them a lot. But also, he says, لَيْسُوا سَوَاءَ. They're not all the same. Some of them are good. And some of them were so good that Allah actually quoted their dua in the Quran. And we read it, and we read it in Taraweeh, the dua made by the Jews. SubhanAllah, it's so powerful. Think about it. Right? Now, and they say, وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And save us with your mercy from this disbelieving people. Now, Musa alayhi salam and his people were afraid, so they couldn't build a mosque. So Musa said, you know, before you can build a mosque, turn your homes into mosques and pray. This tells us that before any real revolution and change can take place, people need to be attached to prayer. Because there was a big revolution coming. Fir'aun was going to be overthrown. But before that could happen, the people had to be ready for it. And that readiness only could come after they are attached to Salah. And attachment to Salah is symbolism of them being attached to Allah and the hereafter. Right? Once that is in place, then large change could take place. So Allah mentions this. And Musa alayhi salam makes a really fascinating dua. He says,
يا ربنا إنك آتيت فرعون وملأه زينة وأموالا في الحياة الدنيا.
Master, you have given Fir'aun and his cronies all the things that they could want, all the glitter and glory in this life.
ربنا ليضلوا عن سبيلك.
So they can take you away, they can misguide you from your path, or they can misguide people from your path.
ربنا اطمس على أموالهم.
Master,
اطمس على أموالهم
says obliterate their wealth.
واشدد على قلوبهم
and absolutely harden their hearts.
فلا يؤمنوا حتى يروا العذاب الأليم.
So they don't believe until they see the punishment, the severe punishment. Do you notice both the prophets in this surah did what? They said to the people, it's all over. That's it. Like their opposition, the disbelievers. And Musa made a dua that Allah makes sure that Fir'aun does not believe until he dies. It tells us that while seeking the truth and while these prophets were giving da'wah, their people pushed them to a point where the prophets were like, these people have reached a point of no return. An implication to the people of Quraysh that don't push Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to that point. Don't push him to that point before the same thing happens to you as well. Before the same fate befalls you as well. Again, these ayat, you cannot take them out of context. This is a Makkan surah. And it's not late Makkan surah. It's like, it's late enough that they have been persecuted a lot. But it's not like the last surah revealed. The last surah revealed, Allahu A'lam wa surah An'am, and we studied that. Because it was revealed at a time where Quraysh were stepping up their persecution and they were really making life very difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Quraysh, this is what happened to people who did it before. Don't let the same fate befall you. So Allah says, قَالَ قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا فَاسْتَقِيمَا وَلَا تَتَّبِعَانِ سَبِيلَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, your dua was already answered. When a person makes a dua, often in the Quran we find Allah saying, your dua is already answered. A person makes a dua with full yaqeen, full conviction, the answer is one of three: yes, not yet, or you'll get it on the Day of Judgment. But when a person makes it with full conviction, in the Quran, it comes as if it's already done. It's a done deal. Allah says, your dua has already been answered. Don't worry about it. Okay? And now, this is the really fascinating part. When Musa alayhi salam was fleeing the sea, and the sea was parted, and he's crossing it, and Fir'aun, you know, follows him, and then Fir'aun is being drowned. At the point when he was drowning, he said, "Amantu." أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلِ. Fir'aun actually said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, when he was dying. But by then, قَالْ أَلْآنَ وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ, now you accept Islam? It's too late now. It's way too late. This idea of people being preoccupied, treating Allah like a bank, you know, like the bank teller. Here's my card, give me money. I'm about to die, okay, here is my Islam. Save me. This idea of being preoccupied with this dunya, using Islam for just benefit of dunya, using dua to gain something in this life that maybe wasn't possible for you to get it yourself, this is the worst case scenario is right here. This is the worst case scenario of that. Subhanallah. So it's a very dangerous symptom that Allah tells us in Surah Yunus. And you know, at the end of the, after all of this, Allah subhanallah mentions, concluding remarks, and we'll end with this inshallah, that it's Surah Yunus. Yunus and every nation suffered this fate, that their people were, when the people did not believe in the messenger, they got destroyed. And when they said, yes, yes, now we believe, it was too late by then. Except illa qawma Yunus, the only exception being Yunus alayhi salam's people. Their prophet, from what it seems like, abandoned them earlier than he was supposed to. He left angrily before he was supposed to leave. So because the Prophet had deserted them, these people, when they saw the punishment, they actually said, we believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we'll accept that. Their belief was accepted at that point. آمنوا كشفنا عنهم عذاب الخزي في الحياة الدنيا ومتعناهم إلى حين. They were the only exception that was made. And that was because a prophet slipped a little bit. Otherwise, every other nation, when a Rasul was sent and they didn't believe in the Rasul, it was too, and then when the punishment came and they said, now we believe, it's too late. It was too late. The surah concludes, and we'll leave with that inshallah. Allah says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. People, the truth has come to you from your Lord. The big theme of this, the big idea of this surah was Al-Haqq, that Allah is the truth. The word Al-Haqq repeats 23 times in the surah. And all the things that go in recognizing Allah is the truth. His signs that are outside. Our own attitude to things that happen to us. The evidences that Allah has presented. And lastly, historical evidence that He presents. All of this goes in to show that Allah is the truth, and thus we should trust Him. وَمَا عَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. I'm not here to be anything but just a messenger, and we should trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this. Inshallah, we'll conclude with that. بَارَكُ لِي وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ وَنَفَعَنِي وَإِيَّاكُمْ بِالْآيَاتِ وَذِكْرِ الْحَكِيمِ. People online, I apologize for the choppy internet. Migwa for the internet in your sujood. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That is correct, Brother Mukha. That is correct.
Did he ask
for
the bag with you?
The bag.
The bag still.
I don't know. Oh, one second. There we go.